The Bible is very clear, as we've studied this thing, and we're studying, this is more of a historical account of feminism, and it's not in entirety, each article that we're taking from, it's from an historical Baptist perspective, and biblical, but a historical Baptist perspective here, and we've been going through that. I'll not go through the other ones, you can listen to those, and you've heard those, and everything else, but just to understand the work and sphere of true womanhood, all part of this study of feminism and understanding it. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity, and holiness with sobriety. Now, he says here, I select these passages because it is in perfect harmony with other statements of the same apostle, and because it gives the reasons for the position he assumed in the 11th and 12th verses. The subject of prayer is treated by the apostle in this chapter. He distinctly states who are to conduct the public prayers. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Very clear. In like manner, therefore, that the women adorn themselves. Here is the distinction with that adorn themselves between the men and the women in public worship. The men were to pray and the women were to attend modestly appareled and in silence. Do you know there's something that ladies are missing today? That knowledge, that understanding that they are not to be loud. They are not to be loud and draw attention to themselves. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. That in their clothing, in their speech, modestly, that means everything. It is a meek and quiet spirit. It's not that, hey, I'm not here to draw attention to myself. I'm not here to make myself known. You know, from that standpoint, I'm not here to be the center of attention. That's not how it's supposed to be in the church, or anywhere, by the way. Amen? It's not to be that way for a lady. That's what differentiates her from a man. Her demeanor. Amen? Whether you will like this statement or not, no man likes a loud-mouthed woman. Amen? No real man, I should say. A biblical one. He doesn't like a loud-mouthed woman. He just doesn't. Now, the men were to pray and the women were to attend modestly appareled in silence. Now listen to this. These aren't Baptists, but which even makes it better. But these are commentators from that era, from that time and before, long before that, that talked about these verses. Listen to what Barnes, you're familiar with Barnes Notes. If any of you ever seen Barnes Notes, I have the set at home. Presbyterian, wrong on baptism, but historically he understood some truths of Scripture, besides baptism, that is. The direction here given that men should pray in contradiction from the duties of women specified in the next verse may be intended to imply that men should conduct the exercises of public worship. Next. As the apostle thus reverts to the public prayers just commended, he now states more exactly when, how, and through whom these should be conducted. And with this he adds his special counsel to the women as well as the men. The latter, in express distinction from the former, are alone to direct public prayers. That's Lange. I don't know if you ever heard of Lange, but he's... G.H. Lange was an old... It's actually a pretty good commentary set for the most part. It's Protestant, but a lot of good stuff in there. Good historical, you know things there. But anyway, the men, not women, were to officiate. Coyne Bear and Howson. Now, have you ever heard of Coyne Bear? Coyne Bear actually translated the key. The Armenian, the key... Hold on. It's in Baptist history. When I say Armenian, I don't mean Armenian in doctrine. I mean the people of Armenia. The key... I can't remember now. Anyway, I'm sorry. I lost it. But anyway, he translated that Baptist document into English. It was in the Armenian language, and he translated the language of Armenia. He translated it in, and it was called the Key to Understanding, or the Key. I can't, but anyway, it's an ancient Baptist document. Actually, is what it is. It's very neat. But anyway, he translated that. Every form of public address or teaching is clearly forbidden, as at variance with women's proper duties and destination. Ellicott. Have you ever heard of Ellicott before? But I have his commentary too. According to Paul, women must be learners and are not allowed to be the public teachers in the church. For teaching is an office of authority, whereas she must not usurp authority over the man, but is to be in silence. Matthew Henry. Everybody knows who he is, pretty much. We learn from these verses, verse 11 through 15, that besides the fondness for exterior adornment, which showed itself over ever in the public assemblies for prayer, the apostle had still another kindred fault to censure in the women of the church. Namely, their putting themselves forward in consequence of mistaking the proper sphere assigned to them. This displayed itself in their coming forward to teach in the public assemblies, and thus usurping authority over the man, Olshausen. I have his book too. I may say without quoting farther, this is the uniform interpretation of scholars. Official teaching in the church is forbidden to women because it is usurping authority over the man, as official teaching bears with it authority. There is a sense in which the women may teach, which will be noticed hereafter. Now, I do not believe that the apostle laid this restriction upon women because of the customs and prejudices of his day with reference to women. We cannot say that this restriction is no longer binding because these customs and prejudices are done away with. He tells us why this restriction was laid upon them, and those reasons are as potent today as they were then. He gives the reason why it shouldn't be done. These reasons are first, because man was first created. Secondly, because woman was first in the transgression. This will hold good to the end of time and at all the changes of a changeful world. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, the apostle shows the dependence of Eve from the priority of Adam's creation. The cause of her subjection to man was her being first in the transgression. She tempted Adam to his fall. The curse pronounced upon her teaches us this. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. There is a great deal of significance in these words of the apostle. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety, through the faithful discharge of the duties which come upon her through the bearing and rearing of children. Do you understand that? That's where her glory was to be, in having and raising children. Nevertheless, she shall be saved through childbearing, in childbearing. What is it? He's saying that her seed and her continuance will be, her glory will be through childbearing. Now, is it not amazing that the devil has stolen that from women today? He has taken that glory, the only glory that God had truly put upon them to give them, he has taken that away from them and told them they must be the man. And women are too blind to see that's what's happened to them. You've been duped. You've been lied to. You've been fooled. Tricked again by the serpent. Not only once were you tricked by him. Your great-grandmother Eve was tricked by him. But you have been tricked by the serpent again. This generation, in the last 100 years, have been tricked by the serpent again to steal that child-bearing and child-rearing from you, take it away from you, take you out of your glorious position that God put you in. Wait a minute, isn't that what he did first? Did he not tempt Eve to leave the glorious position that she had as Adam's helpmeet and to step away from that and to be in the limelight herself, which truly demoralizes her and sends her down? So he did the same thing over again. He just used a different trick. Is feminism new, or did it start in the Garden of Eden? The spirit of it started right in the garden. Amen? She shall be saved from the dangers and trials and temptations which will environ her by taking her upon herself the office of the man. What was he telling her? Nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing. But I've never even understood this at this point either. But listen, here's what he's saying. No, we won't subject you to be a man, to be out there amongst the temptation. Are you listening? Follow me. Follow me now. We won't put you in a place of a man so you will not be fooled by the serpent and be in the wrong place that God did not put you in. I will make you in subjection to the man. He shall rule over thee. You shall be saved nevertheless through childbearing. So stay in the castle. Stay in the home. Raise your children and you will be protected because I have put Adam over you to protect you from the serpent. Do you understand that's what he was saying? Does that make sense? He said, I'll give you a protector. He will bear the brunt. He will stand for you. He will make sure you don't get fooled by the serpent. He will protect you. Stay where I've put you. And you'll be preserved. When's the last time you heard your local fundamental Baptist preacher preach that? That should be at the next ladies' conference. Somebody book me. Put me on a 30-foot screen. It'll be the most popular sermon there. They can't throw eggs at me if I'm on a screen. Well, they can, but it'll be their screen they ruin. Listen, folks. For all the fellowship and all the fun and all the other things that goes on, why have we lost sight at any of these meetings when men meet together that the pastor preaches on men and what their role is, and ladies, what their role is directly, and that feminism and the devil has used feminism as his tool to steal your glory that God has put upon you? Stolen. And you want to know the sad thing? Lady, you're tricked again because you don't see that he stole it from you. He's gotten you to think that ye shall be as gods. Has the lie even changed? No. It's the same lie. I like what somebody... It's the same lie reloaded. It's just been given to you again. It was just changed a little bit. But it's the same exact thing. Nothing new under the sun. It's the same thing. He wants to get you out of the home, not raising children, not guiding the home, not taking care of the children and raising them. Go after the career. You know why families are so messed up? Because too many women are chasing careers and not being wives and being married and taking care of their children. And men say, well, we got to have this income and that income and this. No, you don't. Get rid of all the stuff then. You don't need anything. Keep your wife at home raising your children. That's barbaric. No, that's biblical. That's biblical. But I'll tell you, it's hard to keep the million-dollar buildings and properties up if you don't have the woman outside working. You got to have that double tithe coming in. To pay for the Christian school, you got to have the double tithe coming in. And see, that's why I can never have a Christian school here. Because I don't want to facilitate that spirit of having the lady leave the home. Do you really think that every lady can homeschool her children? Yes. Yes. Do I think you can figure out how to shower and cook a meal? Yes. Well, I hope so anyway. Do I think you can figure out a checkbook? Well, that might be something, but no, just kidding. Yes, of course you can. Do I think you can, just kidding, it's a joke. Do I think you can guide the home? Absolutely. Why? Because God said you could, that's why. If God didn't think that you could handle or know that you could handle raising children, what does raising children mean? Well, it just means I birth them and then I just send them off to school. Where do you get that one from? Oh, really? So that's what you... And I deliver them into the hands of the state, and then I deliver them back, and then they bring them back to me. Well, what do you think they did with them while they were gone? What'd they do to them while they were gone? Well, they indoctrinated them with their humanism and their understanding and what they... In the state mantra, they indoctrinated them, and then they send you back home and say, well, hey, go back home. We had you for 8 hours a day. You ain't getting my kids for 8 hours a day. No way. No. I don't care if I have to work three jobs, you're not getting them. Oh. And if you try to take them, you'll find out what happens. And you outlaw what you outlaw here, I'll move to a third world country. I'll go live in a hut somewhere and let you all go to hell. And that's not blasphemy. I didn't cuss. I'm telling you the truth. Because my children are more important. They're my first ministry. That's what God's called me to, is to take care of my family. And before I let you steal my children from me and take me and say, you're going to have to by gunpoint, I'll go move to a third world country. I'll raise my kids in a hut somewhere. And I'll let God flush America like a toilet. Amen. I just say the things most people won't say. Plain and simple. I don't want that to happen, but My first responsibility is making sure my kids don't go to the government. And by the way, I fully expect to be in jail someday, if not dead. But so be it. I'm telling you, you don't realize the times we're living in. You just don't. What's that? Somebody say good or what? I am or he is? Okay. He's like, I'm looking forward to that preacher. Get him in jail. Yeah. No, I'm not looking forward to a jail ministry. I really don't want one, but I just think that, you know, I think that if you're going to stand for something in this day and age, you're going to pay for it. You just are. You know, it's sad to say, but where's our first responsibility? Did God say that my church is my first responsibility over my family? No. Do I want America to go to hell? No. I weep for it. I'm sad that they've stolen our country from us. I'm sad. It's sad. It's sad that my children don't know what are growing up in a country that is not the same country that I grew up in back in the 80s. It's not the same. Government control in every aspect of your life. You know, you got the president's wife telling everybody what they can eat, pressuring corporations and companies. So I think McDonald's, I think they went ahead and put the apples in the Happy Meal. Yeah, they put apples in it. That's good GMO food for you. But anyway, put the apples in the Happy Meal to make the lady happy. But then again, now understand, they high-fived and slapped a five because what happened with McDonald's? Well, McDonald's got a pass for their Obamacare. Do you guys see how that works? Oh, you conspiracy free. Oh, come on. Do you really believe that? Yeah, it happened right there. Didn't you see it? I'm telling you, Americans are so blind. They are so absolutely blind. You know, people from foreign countries look at us and they think we're nuts. Like, don't you guys see what's going on there? Churches from Russia come over here, they're leaders, and they say, why are you people incorporated? What are you doing? So where are we living, folks? It's bad. Anyway, back to feminism. It all goes back to the same thing, though. It's the lie of the devil, and it's never stopped. Now, I don't believe that the apostle laid this restriction upon women. He gives the verses. He gives the reason why. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved through childbearing. In childbearing, that's the scriptural. If they continue in faith, through the faithful discharge of the duties which come upon her through the bearing and rearing of the children, she shall be saved from the dangers and trials and temptations which shall environ her by taking upon herself the office of the man. The short space of this pamphlet will not permit me to amplify the foregoing thoughts. I simply call attention to them. Listen, what's happened? Well, folks, understand this. Do you know what women predominantly in the workplace have done to the workplace? Do you understand what it's done? It has changed the workplace completely. Let me say it's chickified it. I know, that's not a good term to use, but it's just real. It has. It really has made it like, I mean, it's really wimpy. If you say the wrong thing to a woman, you get hauled into the office because the woman gets offended because, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm sure you'd been there a lot. But, you say the wrong thing to the woman and you get hauled into the office. And you can't talk to her like that because Sweetums will cry. Okay, I understand. Okay, well, maybe Sweetums ought to go home and change a baby's diaper and wash some dishes or something then. I know. Oh, that just barbaric preaching there. I know, because that's exactly, I'm telling you, if you say one thing, then these ladies get mad, all they gotta do is go up there and say, well, you said this to me, and they start boo-hooing and crying, and if a woman boo-hoos and cries, they get the attention right away. That's what happens, and then you get in trouble. Why? Well, just pretty much because you're a man, that's why. Pretty much you were a man, and you're around women, that they're acting like men, they want to be equal with men, but they can't hang out with the big boys, you know, or hang out with the big dogs on the porch. They need to get off the porch. But that's what's happened. Then you have, what has it done to our whole work? Well, look at it. If my dad worked at a foundry for years and a woman had to come in there, could she lift up 150-pound casting, most of them, carry it with one hand and grind it with the other? No. Oh, so they'll try to make something special for her to do that. Why? Oh, so because of the quality. That's not equality. Equality would mean that she could do it. You just sound so sexist. No, I sound like a man. Sorry. I just sound like a man. I look at women like the weaker vessel, like God said they are. That doesn't mean I appreciate them any less. You have no idea how much I appreciate my wife. No idea. And I guarantee you, she's a lot happier than those ladies are. And so am I. A lot happier than their husbands are. Battle them every day. Watching their wives submit to another man and then give her husband an attitude when she comes home. Why? Well, because you sent her in subjection to another man and it confused her.
Right.
And this is going to upset somebody, but women get easily confused.
Right.
This will be at the next ladies' conference. Sorry. It's just funny. It just makes me... I'm sorry. It just makes me laugh because I mean I think that these things ought to be said, and if they were said they'd go, what? Oh man, I'm sure their eyes would pop out of their head seeing me. Anyway, but listen, it's true. It's changed the workforce. Deny it, please. Deny that it's changed the family and ruined it. I want a fundamental Baptist preacher to stand up before me. And I want them to say to me, as we talk about this thing, I want you to really look at me and tell me that the woman out of the home has not changed the family structure. I want you to be honest, and you can't be. You won't be. You won't admit that to your people. Because it's not politically correct. No, it's biblically correct, though. And that's what's happened. And then we wonder why our families and our homes are destroyed. And our churches are weak and God wants to spit them out or puke them out because they disgust Him. They just disgust Him because of the way they are. Then the world looks at us and you have a 55% divorce rate among evangelical Christians today. And the world looks at us and says, well, you're no different than we are. No, you're right. We're not any different than you are. We look the same. We walk the same. We act the same. All we do is add Christian to it. That's all we do. But we're just the same as you are. Why? Well, Mom. You took Mom away. You devalued Mom. You made her of no importance. Why? Because you took her out of the role of being a mom. You took her from that. You took her only glory that God had given her and the covering and the safety. Do you realize that with the covering and the safety that God gave her was in childbearing and rearing? That's the safety net. That's the place. That's the covering He gave her as her husband over her. That was her protection. She was never meant to leave that. Never. Never. She wasn't. She was never meant to leave it. But what harm can there be in a woman speaking in public? Are they not intelligent and able to instruct? Are they not in the pulpit and the platform women who are eloquent, persuasive, and powerful? We may respond to all this in the affirmative. We know that there are hundreds of thousands of women who are far surpass the great bulk of men in intelligence, in learning, in oratory, and all that is good. But is this to decide what she ought to be put in the pulpit, or that she ought to be put on the platform and in the political arena? Now listen, this is the historical Baptist perspective. Now watch this. Is there no other way for her to use her excellencies? Does the position of her subjection do away with the use of her powers? By no means, listen to this, by no means, she is not, by no means, he says, he's talking about, does the position of the subjection do away with the use of her powers? By no means. Then he says, she is not to speak in public, assume political rights, to vote and hold office, because the scripture says it leads to the ignoring of her subjection and obedience. It is the assumption of authority over the man. It is hence that ruling power goes forth and hence it is denied her. It is the renunciation of that modest appearance and shamefacedness which is at once the power that wins and the wall which protects. Well, let me ask you a question. How much has it changed since women started voting? Oh, I like that guy. He's cute. He says nice things. He's smooth. Well, how easy was it for Obama to fool most women? Oh, my goodness. He didn't have to do anything. He just got up there and said a few words like the devil, and he got it. And women put him and Bill Clinton in office. Just like that. Why? Well, you take her out of where she's supposed to be, and you try to make her a man and put her in and do everything else, and guess what? Who was supposed to make the decisions and lead? I know. This won't be preached a lot and talked about a lot because this kind of stuff is where we came from. This is our biblical roots, what I'm telling you. This is the historical family foundation. This is where we came from. And today we are so far from this that what I'm speaking to you, or to most people, sounds, oh, that's sexist. But where'd that term come from? Feminism. Why is it sexist? To say a woman has a proper place and that's what it is? What is that, barefoot and with child? No, I prefer shoes on. Shoes are better. Say, ouch. Not really. Why? That's her glory. Don't ever mistake the fact that just because my wife or your wife doesn't lead does not mean that they're not intelligent enough to. Or that they don't have the knowledge to. I'll give you a perfect example of it. And she'll be mad at me for saying it. But Mrs. Hildebrand knows way more about music than I could ever know. Way more. She knows way more than her husband knows about music. Way more. And it's very useful. And it'll be more useful in the future than she even knows right now. Amen? But that does not mean that just because she doesn't lead doesn't mean that she doesn't know how or know anything. God is using that and will continue to use that in its proper place. Amen? Why? That's the way God intended it to be. Amen? Listen. This world will sell you feminism because it's antichrist. It will sell you that because there is a biblical feminism. Amen? We'll talk about that. There is one. And it's real. But the antichrist one that's out there now, it's of the devil. It's of the world. Amen? You just have no idea the value. The value of a biblical lady. You husbands have an idea. Amen? You know. But the world doesn't know. They don't have a clue. They just don't have a clue the value of a biblical lady. Well, you're against a woman leading. Well, yes, I am because Scripture is. Yes, I am because Scripture is. And all the men out there that are begging women to run and do a man's job. I mean, feminism has really gotten a hold of them. I'm going to give them a pink t-shirt. They just had a meeting down in Iowa. And they had a few Baptists were there. And there was a big Baptist meeting and they were, I don't know what they're trying to do. They had Rick Santorum there. They had, you know who Rick Santorum is? He's running for president. Well, you don't know him, that's good. But anyway, they had Rick Santorum. They had Michelle Bachmann. Way to go, you fundies. And they had who else did they have there? Oh, all of them except Ron Paul. They wouldn't let him in. No, I'm serious. Ron Paul was not allowed in. He was the only guy that wasn't allowed. Right, Right, the only one that stands for liberty, he's not allowed to be there at an American Principles Conference. And the only one that has never voted to steal your liberty and to frisk your wife, but he's not invited there. What a bunch of blind morons! Brother, I'm telling you, you're either willfully ignorant or you're just that plain ignorant. I mean, you're that wicked, I guess. I don't understand how you can see that. But anyway, my point is this: you have Michelle Bachmann there, and she's up there telling how she's going to run the country and do everything. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, these are a bunch of fundamentalists that stand there, Pope, and say, "Bless God," they stand up there, King James Bible. That's all they preach about, King James Bible and stuff like that. And they have their three party lines that they scream about: King James Bible. You know, women wear a skirt, but you can be president. And all that, make sure you wear that skirt though. But as long as you got that on, you're cool. Folks, they've missed it. You're rallying around a woman to be president of the United States, and you're a bunch of people that call yourselves Baptists, which they should be called fundamentalists, not Baptists, because they're not really Baptists. Ouch. I'm just too mean for my own good. Thanks, brother. Okay, listen to this. It is thence that ruling power goes forth, and hence it is denied her. It is the renunciation of that modesty of appearance and shamefacedness which at once the power that wins and the wall which protects. It is the opening of the gate through which the floods come down to destroy and make waste. There may be beauty and grandeur in the flow of the mighty tide, but there is destruction and death in the flow. Women may stand in public and charm and win by her eloquence and persuasiveness, but it is notoriety and sphere. But it is a notoriety and sphere purchased at the expense of the crown of her excellency. Subordination is one of the beautiful rays which flash from the glory of true womanhood. Wow, isn't that something? That's a nice... I wish I made that up. Let me read that to you again. Subordination is one of the beautiful rays which flash from the glory of true womanhood. Put that on the website. Yeah, do that. Write that down. That's good. Yeah. Never was there a grander and graver mistake than to suppose that there is any humiliation in it, or that subordination means subjugation. Jesus Christ subjected himself to God, but was he degraded by it? Did he not in that subjection work out the grandest glory for himself in the world? Away with the idea that woman, by being subjected to man, is degraded. This all should be on that website right here. I've got this quote right here. I've got it outlined here. You guys put this on, okay? It is an impeachment of the divine wisdom. She is dependent, but that very dependence is her glory. It contributes to her fruitfulness and gives her a position in which she may work to the greatest advantage. Who has not seen her and felt her work in her dependence? She has clung to the object of her dependence even when it was bare and unsightly and covered it with her own loveliness. What is more beautiful and fruitful than a dependent vine? We have seen it climb around the strong tree, throwing out its bare arms here and there until it would completely enfold it. The storm and the hail would beat upon it, but it would hold it firm and cling to it with still greater tenacity. And when the lightnings would scar and make it bare, it has covered its deformity with the beauty of its own rich purple fruit. And when at last, by some overpowering force, it would be prostrated to the earth, down with it would it go and cling to it in its ruin. We stand by it and say, "Beautiful, lovely vine, thy glory is in the fruitful faithfulness with which thou dost depend. We know thy work, and though thou hast not saved, thou dost cover destruction with thy glory." It is the inborn feeling of dependence in women which leads her to identify herself with man to whom she looks for support. And having warped herself around a manly nature, she labors for it and clings to it in the hour of sternest trial and most debasing temptation with a faithfulness which has charmed the world with its glory. This subordination and dependence honors the man and in turn calls forth his protection and admiration. This I know is fast becoming an unpalatable doctrine. Even the command of God seems not to deter her, as in the case of her mother Eve, from grasping after secrets and powers which must prove the destruction of her hopes and her happiness. Blot out the idea of her subordination and dependence, let it be ignored in her life work, and let the corresponding feeling in man's bosom which sympathizes with it be banished, and let women stripped of these bulwarks of defense be elevated to a plane where she can and will contend with man for the mastery, and respect is gone, as in the strife of man to man, the weakest must go down. It will then be matching the physical strength and endurance, intrigue and violence, and it is not an unsolvable problem which will win. She is woman will no longer be the cry to awaken sympathy and call forth a troop of defenders. She is woman, but she says she is a man, and let her share the fate of men. And that is what has happened today. There is no difference. Man see no difference between her and woman, and they treat her like a man. Right now. Wrote 150 years ago, and just as true today. Manifested today. Look at it. There's no difference. They see no difference. Men used to not curse or say rude things or crude things in front of women. No different now. Why? Well, because women act like men. Yeah. And they talk just like it. No difference. Same thing. Why? Well, because she left what she was. She took on that of a man. So what do men... And I'll tell you something. No biblical man wants a woman like that. He'll run from it. Oh. Why? Because he's attracted to her feminism. Biblical feminism. He's attracted to it. He's attracted to her soft, meek nature. That's what attracts him to her. That's her strength. Don't you get it? No, you don't. That's what her strength is. The world doesn't get it. That is what her strength is. Don't you understand that a lady in a proper setting with a tear can bring a man to his knees? It's true. It's true. But when a woman is not feminine, a man feels no remorse for what he does. Look at the common day of the rapes and the abuse, and the way women are treated today. Why are they treated like that? They don't see it as different. They just don't see them as different. God forbid that any such day should ever dawn upon the world. Wow. I'm glad this man rested in his grave and isn't with the Lord now and didn't have to see this day. God forbid that any such day should ever dawn upon the world, but am I wrong in supposing that the streaks of light pointing to the rising sun? No, you weren't wrong. You sure do sound like a prophet, though. A hated doctrine, though it may be, I proclaim it on authority of Him who has unimpeached right to speak, and in the fearfulness of the truth itself, woman is subordinate and dependent, and these are rays which flash upon us from the sun of her womanhood. We'll get into the next one next week. Another feature of womanhood is one which I will explain by the term homeliness. Home, sweet home. We'll talk about that next week.